Outstanding singing right there. I gotta say, I kind of felt like Barney Fife when he was singing in front of everybody in the little microphone, and somebody was behind the curtain. The choir sounds wonderful this morning. I'm telling you.
Back when we lived up in Senatobia, I would go to St. Jude's some, you know, because we lived up there close and had a little girl that lived there next to us that was in St. Jude's. And so I'd go see her a couple of times a month. And she and my niece Erin played together when Erin would visit. They were the same age. And I heard this story about this little girl named Christina that was up there. She's 8. And Christina had cancer of the nervous system. Now that's extremely painful. I understand that's possibly the most painful kind of cancer. And this little girl was asked, it was her birthday coming up, and you know, they try to do everything special for kids and that they can. And so they asked her, you know, what would you like for your birthday? And Christina thought and thought and thought and just thought and couldn't. And finally she looked at him. She said, well, I've got 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll, and I've just got everything I need. And I thought about, we get so unhappy and so unthankful for the things we have. And here's this little suffering girl, and she's got 2 sticker books, and she's happy. Something's there, isn't there, when it's like that. We got so much to be thankful for. If you got Jesus, you've got everything. You've got Jesus, you got everything. And we've been talking about worship. It's our third week on it. I'm going to kind of go back over just to remind us. Worship comes from that word, Old English, worth-ship. And so basically, you worship someone or something that is worth worshiping. The only one who is worth worshiping is God Himself. And William Temple, the great preacher, asked to define worship. He defined it this way. He said, worship is a quickening of the conscience by the holiness of God, the feeding of the mind with the truth of God, the purging of the imagination by the beauty of God, the opening of the heart to the love of God, and the devoting of the will to the purpose of God. Now, a while ago, I said we were taking an offering, and that is worship. Everything we do in a worship service is worship, not just the music. That's a part of worship, but that's not worship. We've talked about that. And not just the preaching. We don't come to church just, you know, like they used to say in the old days, where I'm going over to the preaching now. No. That's part of worship, but that's not worship. The offering's worship, the prayer's worship, the singing's worship, giving, everything. Obviously, the music and the sharing of the word, the fellowship we enjoy. And in the Old Testament, King David took up an offering. He couldn't build the temple, but he said, I'm going to take the offering and get everything together so that when it's time to build the temple, when my son wants to build the temple, he'll have everything. And so he did, and the offering was so fabulous that when they had taken the offering, they had a worship service. And David led the people in this worship service. And in this service, over the past months, the Lord has shown me that this service gives us the reasons why we worship. And so we want to read the entire service, and as we've been doing, we'll focus in on one verse, but verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 29. It says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of all thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Let's pray. Father, we do want to worship you and study in your word. Thank you. We've already worshiped in giving and prayer and singing and just focusing on you. Lord, now we want to focus on your word. Thank you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, why do we worship? The first reason we talked about 2 weeks ago was that we worship because God deserves to be worshiped. He's the only one that deserves to be worshiped. And in verse 11, you heard that. It says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Man, that covers it all. And then last week, we saw that we worship because God rules everything. In the next verse, it says, Both riches and honors come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is the power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And this morning, we want to look at a third reason for worship. And you can write this down. That is because we are thankful. Verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and bless thy glorious name. Now, there are three words in this verse that we want to examine and study this morning. The first word is thanksgiving, or the word there, thank thee, comes is one word there. And in Hebrew, in the original language, and I'm no Hebrew scholar, don't get it too impressed, but I can look things up. And it's pronounced Yadal. 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 And the literal meaning of this word is very interesting. I learned some neat things when I was doing this study. It means to throw out of the hand. That's interesting. Thanksgiving means to throw out of the hand. Brooklyn, did you know that?
I didn't.
I mean, I really didn't. I didn't know. I've been preaching a long time. And it means either to throw away or to throw at someone. I started to bring some stuff to throw at y'all to illustrate, but I decided not to. It has to do with this. It has to do with extending your hands. So look at me. Extending your hands in worship. That's what that's talking about. Thanksgiving. And it has to do with making confession. It has to do with the praise that being able to make that confession that we make brings. It has to do with thanksgiving that the sin that we are confessing is thrown away. It's an interesting thing, you know, and we often talk about raising our hands in worship. We read, we sang about it, we read about it, and we should do that. We raise our hands in worship. And modern worship has kind of come to have a different type of thing, but the Bible tells us very clearly that we are to raise our hands in worship. By the way, I don't think you ought to raise your hands in worship if, like Mr. Everett said, it's going to make you feel like, you know, a milk bucket under a bull and you're uncomfortable or whatever. I don't think God expects you to be uncomfortable, although sometimes God does expect you to be uncomfortable. It's the way you grow, you know. But the Bible does tell us to raise your hand. Psalm 134:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:8 is the one that we really think about. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Now, holy hands, the key word there is holy. I don't think, since holiness means set apart, clean, and pure, that it's really easy to lift up your hands in holiness without repentance, without calling on the Lord. And I think that it's a good thing to do when we have the call to worship, before we even get started. You know, if you want to raise your hands and praise the Lord, you can do it all the time. You can do it when I'm preaching. I don't care. But what I'm saying is, I think it's a good idea to symbolically say to the Lord, Lord, I want to say that I blew it this week. And would you please forgive me? Here they are. Here they are. Take them. I want to get rid of them. Lift up those holy, holy hands. You know, it has to do with throwing away of our sins. And by the way, we are holy. And some people say, well, we can lift our hands and be holy. They are holy because Jesus Christ, if we're Christians, has paid for them on the cross. But I think it's an act of worship to confess and turn from our sins. I don't apologize for saying that that's a good thing to do. And after we have thrown away our sins, or repented of our sins, which is, I think, symbolized by this raising of the hands, we can have thankfulness. And that's what we need to really worship. So write this down. That raising of the hands in worship has to do with repentance. Here are my sins. Please forgive me. I give them to you and confess them. Here, Lord, now I can praise you. Now I can be thankful. Now I can worship you. And sometimes I think we may lose the meaning in that. I have often raised my hands in worship. When I was a youth minister, I did a lot more. now it kind of hurts me. After having that rotator cuff surgery that didn't do too well, you know, I kind of have trouble raising my hand. But to be honest with you, you know, sometimes in the past I have done it to show off. I wanted to show off, Ms. Deborah. I wanted to show those unholy Baptists that were too ashamed to raise their hands in worship. I'm going to do it. I'll show them who's spiritual, you know. And so, you know, you got to be careful. You can do that with anything, though. You can get up here and sing. Ms. John Lou used to do it. Get up here and sing and just blow everybody away and just be so proud. I'm just teasing, you know. I can pick on her because she doesn't mind. But look, anything you do to show off, I've known preachers that did that. They're good preachers and they knew it and they showed off. That's not worship. Whether you're singing in the choir, whether you're giving a $100 bill and you hold it up so everybody says, look, I'm giving $100 bills and you put it in, you know, anything you do like that to show off, that's not worship. But anything you do in sincerity, that's worship. Well, anyway, let's go to our second word, and that word is praise. This word comes from a Hebrew word, halal. Halal. That's where we get the word. You ever heard that word, hallelujah? By the way, hallelujah is a Hebrew word. That's one of the words a lot of times in our English language, we will take a word from another language and just bring it over into the English language and we'll just use it. We do a lot of Spanish terms. Taco. We all know what that is. Okay, that's not an English word, taco. So we take hallelujah, which was a Hebrew word, and we bring it over into the English language from the Hebrew. The word means, write this down, shine. Shine. It means this, make a show. It means to boast and rave and celebrate. It means to sing unashamedly. It means to just get up and have a fit for Jesus. We don't like doing that, do we? We're not too big on having fits for Jesus in the Baptist church. We're going to wait, boys, till we get to heaven. And then we're going to get up and have a fit for Jesus. You know, I, again, you know, I understand, you know, there's some showing out and all of that. There's so much that could happen with all of that. But that's literally what that's talking about. To show thankfulness and worship, we repent. Because you don't want to worship if you got a bunch of sin in your life. You don't want to do it. You know what you want to do when you have a bunch of sin in your life? You want to sit back there and you want to make fun of the choir. You want to criticize the preacher. You don't want to get through and go home and eat. That's what you want to do. But when you confess that sin and get that sin out of your life, then you can enjoy the choir even when they mess up. And you can just feel sorry for the preacher and lift him up and pray for him anyway. And you can go and you can not worry about what time it is and you can lose weight, particularly if the preacher goes till 3 or something. Look, it's important. Showing thankfulness, it's repenting and getting excited and praising God. We've got one more word, and that word is your name. Your name. Now, this word, you know, it's kind of funny. It's two words, but the Hebrew word here is Shem. S-H-E-M, Shem. And literally, it's speaking of a mark of honor. You see, in David's time, they couldn't say the name of God. You couldn't do that. It was against the law. And God said, you know, God wouldn't even say his name. I mean, they just didn't do it. And so, this word Shem is an honorary title for God. It is a mark of supremacy. And what it means is this, write this down, it means that God is sovereign and over all. He is over all things. So in worship, we repent and show that repentance by raising our hands and we praise God unashamedly and we proclaim Him as Lord. Why do we do that? because we're thankful. Thankful. And sometimes you have trouble being thankful, though. Anybody? You know, Bradley, you don't ever have trouble. But some of us have trouble, Bradley, with being thankful. This old guy that is over in Budapest. Budapest, that's down there around Carthage. No, I'm just kidding. My wife bought a map for my granddaughters because they don't have a clue what a state or a country or anything else, like most of our kids, known anymore. So she got this. Hopefully they can put it up in the room and get curious. So anyway, you know, Budapest is in Hungary. And this is a story about a rabbi. And this guy comes to this rabbi. He says, "It's horrible. I've got to have some relief. He said, "There's 9 of us living in one room. One room. My 2 daughters can't live in one room." You know, so you imagine 9 people living in one room. And so the rabbi said, "No problem. You got a goat?" He said, "Well, yeah, we got a goat. Everybody in Budapest has a goat." He said, "Go home, bring the goat in to live with you." He says, "What?" He says, "Yeah, go home, bring the goat in to live with you, and come back in a week." And the guy said, "Well, at least it's not take 2 aspirin and, you know, call me in the morning." So he went home, he brought the goat in, and the week later he comes back, and man, he's more upset than ever. He is upset. He said, "We can't stand it. The goat is filthy. The goat has eaten clothes. The goat jumps up on all the furniture. He doesn't control his bowel movements. It's just horrible. This goat is horrible." So the rabbi said, "Well, just go home and put the goat back out in the yard. Come back in a week." So the guy came back in a week. Man, he is excited. He said, "Things are wonderful." He says, "Things are so great because we got rid of that goat. It's just wonderful. Life is good." And he was so thankful. And you think about that, guys. Look, if you're unthankful, get rid of the goat. Now, women, don't go kick your husband out. I'm not talking about that. But you know what I mean. We get all this stuff in our lives that really make us miserable. And we're upset and we're mad. And I do this constantly. You know, I get all upset with the cell phone company. You don't get your Bible verse, it's because I'm having trouble with my cell phone company. And you guys, don't be mad that I didn't remind you about the breakfast, because I'm having trouble with my cell phone. And I've been struggling with that. It's been a goat in my life, you know. But I'm going to get rid of that goat. And I'm not going to let it have victory. But what I'm trying to say is this. Look, if you are unthankful, you will not be able to worship. Sometimes there are things in life that keep you from enjoying your walk with Jesus, your relationship with other people. You know, God at times puts goats in our lives to help us to grow up. You know. But sometimes we just put the goats in. We just bring them on in and say, "Come on in." Some of you girls, you know, you say, "Well, I just have so much trouble with my boyfriend. I just don't know what to do because my boyfriend." And I was never a good counselor as a youth director. I just tell them to dump them. I just say, "You're not married, so if he's causing you all that trouble, dump her or dump him. Just, you know, I'm married. You know, what's the big issue?" "But I love him." "No, you don't." But you can't do that when you're married, you know. So God puts people in our lives to help us to grow. That's good. But sometimes we put the goats there, and we just need to tell them to get out. You know what I'm talking about. We worship God because we are thankful. Are you thankful to God? I am. I don't act like it a lot, but I am because of Jesus. Jesus Christ came when I didn't deserve it. And He died on the cross, and He paid for my sins. So that once I came to the point of recognizing my sin, I could come to Him with my sins and say, "Here they are. I believe in You. I love You." And I think one reason we raise our hands to God is because we're looking up at the cross. And Jesus said, "I'll take them. You are forgiven." I'm thankful for that. You know, and if you're struggling with thankfulness and if it's because you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to seek that. I'd be glad to talk to you about that today if you want to. And everything, in a moment, we'll have a time of invitation or just talk to me on the way out. That's what most people do, but we have a time where you can come down too. Folks, the truth is, look, that once a person meets God, they realize that He deserves to be worshipped because He is God. They realize that He deserves to be worshipped because He rules everything. And by the way, if He's not ruling your life, then you're going to struggle with that. And as Christians, this makes us thankful. And the natural, write this down, the natural result that thanksgiving brings is worship. We repent of our sins because of the cross. Then and only then we can worship God unashamedly. And I'm very serious about this, folks. I don't necessarily want us just to have a ridiculous, confusing worship service or anything like that. But I will say this. If you're holding back on your worship, shame on you. If you're holding back on your singing because you're afraid, "Well, I can't sing," or "I don't know those new songs," learn them. Amy learned them. You probably didn't know that one that we played today, but did you know that before? You know, Amy learns new songs. Becky learns new songs. The choir learns new songs. I even learn new songs, and I'm old. Some of you young people, "Oh, I can't. I don't like those old hymns." Those old hymns have great lessons for you guys. You young people need to know those lessons. So I encourage you, you know, to do that. I encourage you to glorify God's holy name, however He leads you to do it. So would you bow your heads? We've come to this time we call the invitation. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus, that you can come and talk with me and let me share you scripture about that. But probably more than likely, the invitation is for us as Christians to think about what we've heard from the Word of God and to respond to that however the Holy Spirit may be leading us. You don't have to come up here. You can. You can come up here and talk to me. You can come up here and pray. You can do whatever. You can pray where you are, but you need to respond. We're going to have prayer, and then Amy's going to play, and I encourage you to respond to